Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the morning, right across Australia.
And good morning and welcome. Tuesday the 9th of June. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC in stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 22 in the city of Sydney, same out west, 25 Brisbane. And we'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. And no matter where you are, the number is the same, 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au. And now access information from the program by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Yesterday I was here, I told you about the deaths of two people at Karajong. It appears the advice we were getting was right. It was a terrible, terrible accident. Ben McClellan writing about it today in The Telegraph. A couple has died in a tragic long weekend mishap in the Blue Mountains. The Burgsgrave man and the woman, aged 32 and 31, died in their sleep from the suspected carbon monoxide poisoning after camping in a steel container with a cooking pot of hot coals. The pair were discovered at 7:30 yesterday by the woman's sister at the Karajong property. They could not be revived. Accidental carbon monoxide poisoning, that we're told, is a very real risk in poorly ventilated residences. The odourless and colourless gas forms when the carbon in fuel does not completely burn. The gas can form from burning fuel in stoves, lanterns, fireplaces and furnaces. If a fuel heater is not fluid or a house is inadequately ventilated, the gas can quickly build up. Symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning include headaches, dizziness, weakness, vomiting, chest pains and, as is this case, eventually death. Just terrible, going away for the long weekend with members of their family and they don't return. Scott Morrison will be a guest on the program today, normally with us on a Monday, but given it was a holiday yesterday, we were here, we gave him the day off, but he comes back today being Tuesday. Now, a story by Daniel Mears, the national political reporter for News Limited, hundreds of people are citing ailments such as headaches and arm discomfort in failed bids to have the Admin Appeals Tribunal overturn Centrelink's decision to block their welfare applications. The Daily Telegraph can reveal the tribunal is denying almost one appeal against Centrelink a day nationally, with some of the claimants eligible for just 5 of the 20 points required to access the DSP. They said they were going to get tough, and they are getting tough, and we'll talk to the Minister about that. Scott Morrison will join me a little bit later. Now, we spoke in detail about this yesterday, and we spoke to the reporter involved from the Nine Network, Alex Bernhardt. Alex was outside the Caboolture Court. A woman has been charged with murder. Her supporters were inside the court at Caboolture. The media gathered around one young woman who was inside the court supporting the accused murderer. She was pushing a pram. On the way out of the court, she lit up a cigarette. She blew smoke in the face of Alex Bernhardt and others. And then, with a lit cigarette, she pushed it into the cheek of the Channel 9 reporter. Now, when we spoke to Alex yesterday, she said she was reluctant to proceed against the woman. But this woman will appear now in the Caboolture Magistrates Court on July 23 over the cigarette incident. Police decided they would charge her. And she has now been charged, the woman ashing the cigarette on the young reporter's face. We'll see what happens to her when they deal with her in July at Caboolture Magistrates Court. Now, you better grip the side of the coffee table or the desk or the steering wheel of your truck or your car, or put the tools down if you're on the if you're a tradie. A man accused of several attacks on police who's on 12 good behaviour bonds. 12 good behaviour bonds. Has been released on bail after being arrested for spitting on an officer and kicking another one. The Parramatta Bail Court Registrar, and this is not a magistrate but a registrar, Ross Lawton, told Keith Quayle, who faces 9 charges of assaulting or resisting police officers, he didn't think the 26-year-old would get another chance. Well, he might if he appears before you, Mr. Lawton. Quayle's already facing 6 charges of assaulting and resisting police when he allegedly assaulted 2 constables at Marylands on Sunday night. Police alleged in court that Quayle ran from the officers and, when he was caught, thrashed about on the ground It's alleged one constable tried to subdue Quayle, who was intoxicated, with strikes of the torso. The part-time kitchen hand is then accused of spitting twice at the constable. When more officers arrived to help Quayle into a police wagon, he kicked out, striking another constable in the stomach. The police prosecutor, Senior Sergeant Lisa McAvoy, opposed bail, saying Quayle was already facing assault or resisting charges on six police officers over an incident on May 6. It's not the community expectation that police officers be treated like punching bags, Senior Sergeant McAvoy said. If Mr. Quayle is allowed at liberty, the next time a police officer could be more seriously injured. Legal aid lawyer Carl Manette said Quayle didn't get on with police officers, or they don't get along with him. Bit of both. Mr. Manette said his client had planned to start 8 months of rehab from yesterday at 4 o'clock. Well, that's timely. How do you get into rehab on a holiday Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Anyway, the registrar tumbled for this. He's got to live in an address at Waterloo and report daily to police unless he provides written proof he's accepted into a rehab program. Now, this is one for the Attorney General to look at immediately. We talk about the sort of nonsense police officers put up with in New South Wales, the ACT and Queensland on a regular basis. Here's a bloke who's on 12 good behaviour bonds being released on bail by a registrar yesterday named Ross Lawton. The matter should be appealed immediately. The DPP, who tried to stop the inquiry into why bail was granted to man Monis, should do their job, appeal this to a higher court, the district court, and get this bloke put away before he does some injury to himself or the police officers involved. It just is beyond anyone's comprehension how the magistrate could say, oh, well, you might be in trouble if you appear here again. I mean, how many damn chances do we give a person like this? Now, when I reported this yesterday out of the Hunter Valley, I had no idea that it was as bad as it now looks. There's a shot of a timber cottage around Lake Macquarie. Terralba, actually, where it happened. And there's a bloke named Jamie Sager. He apparently, or allegedly, pinched a 49-ton bulldozer, destroyed four cars, a house, a boat, and left a terrified woman and her daughter running for their lives. He'll appear in court this morning after being charged with a raft of offences, including destroying or damaging property, intimidating police officers. This started at 7 o'clock yesterday morning when he stole a D9 bulldozer from a mine yard in Terralba. The 48-year-old drove the track vehicle through bush towards the home of his former friend Mark Fraser. Now, there's already an AVO against him, this Sagar character. Mr. Fraser wasn't home, but his partner was there with her daughter, 20-year-old daughter, and a 29-year-old nephew was there as well. We heard the car alarm going off, then this banging noise, which we thought was a garbage truck. He started by crushing three cars parked in the front of the house, and then you can't believe the vision I've seen from the air. Now, this bloke is in custody. He must be as mad as a meat axe. Now, two things I thought about. These people are either renting this house, or they own the house. This bloke wouldn't have two bob to rub together. Who pays for the reconstruction of the house? Who puts this all back together after this alleged lunatic went on a rampage? Anyway, we'll find out what happens to him when he appears in Newcastle local court this morning. But like I say, have a look at the website, News Limited website. You'll see, I know it's in the Courier Mail because I saw it there this morning. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Speaking of the Courier Mail, the opposition has called on the Premier up there, Anastasia Palaszczuk, to explain how three of her MPs have been referred to police in just three sitting weeks. The Courier Mail yesterday revealed Cairns law firm Williams Graham Carman, which had accused Labor's Rick Williams of extortion after he threatened to bring it undone during a 2009 dispute, had handed its information to police. Now, the opposition said the community needed an explanation before Ms. Palaszczuk left for the US on a trade mission this Thursday. I mean, I suppose it's part of the deal when you've got a government with trainer wheels on you and you haven't been in government, you haven't been in opposition, you've been basically decimated, that you end up with some rather unusual people. in rather senior positions. And Anastasia Palaszczuk has some rather unusual people in senior positions there at the moment, and it doesn't look too good. Well, in sport, it's official. The Parramatta Club is the club most likely to break their supporters' hearts. With about 20 to go, I packed it in last night and thought, well, I've tipped North Queensland. Parramatta's going to win. At that stage, it was 30 points to 6 to Parramatta. I get in the car this morning, turn the news on, North Queensland win 36-30. How does that happen? How does that happen? It's got me absolutely stumped. Now, as I look down the score sheet here, Parramatta last scored in the 45th minute, 5 into the second half, a second try to Semi Radradra. Matthew Wright scored about 8 minutes later, and then tries went to Gavin Cooper in the 60th, 64th and 67th. There must have been some scoring from the kickoff. And then Kane Lynette won the game in the 68th minute. Jonathan Thurston kicked magnificently, 6 from 6 for the Origin star. But like I say, it's the team that breaks the supporters' hearts week in, week out. Parramatta at the bottom of the table with Manly. Canterbury upset St George Illawarra 29-16, but I must admit I'm scratching my head about what is happening there. 27,291 there, by the way, to watch that game. But I'm perplexed. Moses Mbai starts the game. The halfback who's been selected for State of Origin duties is replaced by the former Origin 5'8", who wins the game for them, Josh Reynolds. And Hodkinson is off the field when all the damage is being done by Canterbury. They beat St George Illawarra 29-16. Another bizarre thing happened this morning. It must be, as I said yesterday, we had a few strange calls, and I thought maybe it was a full moon or a windy day. Now, I have no explanation for this, but Channel 9 pay $1 billion for the rights of the NRL and Origin, or thereabouts, commercial in confidence. So one would imagine when the New South Wales Rugby League was to announce their team, it'd probably be on Channel 9 and then the other news agencies would jump in. Now, I'm watching Sky News as I normally do at 8 o'clock this morning. On comes the announcement. I look at Channel 9, they're not doing it. Sky News is doing it. So we note that Paul Gallen's return and Andrew Fifita's gone. We note that Brett Morris is back and Daniel Tupou's gone. And basically it's the same side beaten by a point in Origin, won by Queensland. So I think it was Stuart Ayres announcing them onto the stage as it was for Origin 1. And I'm thinking, well, last year, I'm sure they did it at 6 o'clock news, straight into the news at 6 o'clock, and Peter Robertson announced it, because they do pay a lot of money for the rights, and I declare an interest. I do work for them part-time. And I thought, well, next thing, out of left field comes Jimmy Wilson, the Channel 7 sports reporter who's hosting it. I'd imagine there'd be perplexed looks on the faces of Channel 9 executives this morning wondering, what do we get for our $1 billion? Any consideration at all? It's on Sky News, hosted by a Channel 7 personality, and Channel 9 don't have it exclusively, as you would imagine that in normal circumstances they would. But they didn't. AFL last night, Collingwood Magpies 110 over the Melbourne Demons 85, 110-85 there. And Hodkinson, by the way, is in that New South Wales side when plenty of people thought he might miss out because his form has been rather ordinary. Cooper Cronk went yesterday afternoon after they had written all through the papers yesterday morning he'd play. But they've got Daly Cherry Evans as a ready-made replacement for him. So no harm done, even though he is a great, great player, Cooper Cronk. Daly Cherry Evans will no doubt get the job done. And instead of getting booed like he was over the weekend at Suncorp, we'll get cheered. You can call me if you like, 131873. Email me at 2gb.com, rayhadley.com, 4bc.com.au. You get podcasts, videos and program content. We're going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Coming up to 20 past nine.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
And Silverwater, a smash on Silverwater Road, taking out lanes 1 and 2 southbound under the M4. Traffic building very quickly behind it. Now, around the airport tunnel, we still have some heavy traffic on General Holmes Drive and Southern Cross Drive at Citybound. Just pulling up the TMC cameras on the M4. Heavy traffic eastbound approaching James Roos Drive as you make your way into the Homebush area. Warungaroo smash on the Pacific Highway, southbound near Redleaf Avenue, and through Port Macquarie, no problems on the Oxley Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Get a better plate with Numbers First personalised plates. Order yours for just $99 per year, plus a one-off order fee. Visit myplates.com.au.
Good to have you company. Barry says, Ray, Channel 9 News last night, they said it was a rented house, so the landlord looking for restitution, I would imagine. A story coming from the 4BC newsroom, Australian officials are following up reports that a man with alleged bikie links has been arrested in Serbia over an execution-style murder in Brisbane. Jai Jack Lee, 22, was shot at point-blank range in the car park of a shopping centre at 8 Mile Plains in Brisbane southwest back in 2012. Reports today that the Australian man Bogdan Kuic was recently arrested in Serbia in connection with the crime. It says the Serbian Ministry of the Interior has confirmed Kuic, who has alleged Bandido's bikie links, is being held in prison in a Serbian city. Kuic reportedly fled Australia just hours after Lee was murdered and was subject of an international arrest warrant. Australian officials are looking into that reported arrest. And as you may have heard in the Sydney news, police hold grave concerns for a teenager missing in the Hunter region. The 19-year-old was camping with friends west of Newcastle when he left for a walk, never returned. A full-scale search was called off last night, but resumed this morning at first light. Mostly sunny and 22 degrees in Sydney. Penrith, 21. Liverpool, 21. Richmond, Parramatta and Campbelltown, all 21. A shower or two tomorrow, they say Wednesday. Possible shower Thursday. Cloudy Friday and Saturday, a possible shower. Brisbane, partly cloudy, maximum of 25. 24 at the airport. Ipswich, Logan, 25 and 24. Wynnum, Manly, 23. Gold Coast, 25 and Sunshine Coast, 24. A possible late shower tomorrow in Brisbane. Canberra, cloudy and 14, the maximum today. Port Macquarie, morning fog, then sunny, 22. Kempsey, mostly sunny, 22 degrees. Coffs Harbour, cloud clearing, and 23. Wagga Wagga, possible shower in 15. Griffith, becoming cloudy, 16. Goulburn, windy, partly cloudy, 13. Coomer, shower or two, 14. Jindabyne, showers, 12. Orange, sunny, 12. Bathurst, mostly sunny, 15. Lithgow, mostly sunny, and 14. Barrel, Southern Highlands, wind easing, partly cloudy, maximum 14. Mildura, partly cloudy, and 17. Now, in Queensland, looks like there might be a little bit of rain around Charters Towers and Townsville, but that's about it. The rest of the state that listens to the Ray Hadley Morning Show, sunny. Maryborough, partly cloudy, 25. Harvey Bay, 24. Townsville, a shower or two, easing, 27. Charters Towers, possible showers, 26. Toowoomba, mostly sunny, 20 the maximum. Kingaroy, mostly sunny, 22. Charleville, mostly sunny, 24. The Eyes are partly cloudy, 28. Longreach, partly cloudy, 28. Emerald, mostly sunny, 26. Roma, mostly sunny, 24. The same as Wallumbilla. Dalby, mostly sunny, 23. St George, sunny and 24. Gundawindi, partly cloudy, 23. And Cunnamulla, sunny and 25 degrees. It's 23 past 9. It's good to have you company. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto that feedback icon. It's 26 minutes past 9. Social Service Minister Scott Morrison would normally join me on Monday, but given it was a public holiday, he had the day off, but he's with me today. Minister, good morning to you.
G'day, Ray.
Now, before I get to your normal portfolio, I spoke yesterday about a convicted Queensland pedophile, a grandfather, who's being released as we speak, if he hasn't already, from Villawood Detention Centre after the federal court quashed your decision to cancel his visa. Now, this bloke was born in the UK, held a five-year resident return visa. He pleaded guilty in 2013 to three counts of indecently treating a child under the age of 12, who was, quote, his lineal descendant, his grandchild, under his care. He was convicted, sentenced to 2 years jail, suspended after 6 months, of course, which is another story for another day, but what we do with pedophiles in Australia. Justice John Logan has ruled your use of discretion was unreasonable. You used a sledgehammer to crack a nut. Have you still got a sledgehammer in the bag you can use there somewhere?
Well, not as social services minister, but as minister for immigration, I had just zero tolerance for pedophiles.
Mm.
And I cancelled numerous visas for people who were involved in that, and we actually changed the law to ensure there was an automatic cancellation for those who are involved in serious offences, and I make no apologies for it, and I wish he was going home.
Can your now Minister, Mr Dutton, have another crack, or is that the end of it?
Well, if it's a federal court decision, I imagine then that's up to the government to be able to take it further with appeals. But, I mean, this is an important part of the system. That if you commit a crime when you're on a visa, I don't care how long ago it was, and particularly if it's a crime against children, then you have no place here, absolutely no place here.
But why? I mean, look, I know that Justice Logan would say, look, I'm not interested in you know, the whys and wherefores of pedophilia. I'm dealing purely in case law. But at the end of the day, if there's a federal court judge who thinks it's okay for a bloke on a visa who performed sexual acts on his grandchild to stay here, we have a problem with the federal court, don't we?
Well, look, I've moved on to a different portfolio now, and I don't get the briefs on these cases or the court decisions. But look, often the issues here, more generally speaking, when courts overturn these decisions, relate to the person's connection to Australia and how long they've been here. And frankly, I don't care. I really don't care how long they've been here. If you came out and you're on a visa, you're not a citizen. We're already having a discussion in this country about citizenship for those who are engaging with terrorism and why we'd strip their citizenship away. Well, frankly, if you're on a visa and you've been convicted of an offence involving sex with a child, go home. Full stop.
Well, seeing you started on that pathway, and we'll come back to your portfolio in a moment.
Yeah.
Philip Ruddock says terrorist supporters who have their citizenship revoked will be able to appeal the decision before they're deported. This special envoy for citizenship says proposed new laws are expected to include the option of a judicial review. Is that the way it's going to tumble?
This was always the proposal, that there would be judicial review of a minister's decision. And somehow this was conveniently left out against the narrative against the proposals the government were putting up. It was always the proposal that there would be judicial review of a decision of a minister, as there always is, as this case in relation to this other character has indicated. And I think on that debate more generally, we need to remind ourselves, we're not talking about people who are going on holidays to, you know, the Ivory Coast or something like that. We're talking about people who are going to Syria and to Iraq to fight with Daesh. And if you don't want to have your citizenship cancelled, don't go there. It's pretty simple. Because if you do go there, the government wants to do everything within its power and wherever possible, create the powers that ensure you can't come back. It's that simple. We're focused on the outcome here. We don't want them coming back.
Okay, now, you were Immigration Minister. We've spoken about the Federal Court, but we now should talk about the Admin Appeals Tribunal, because they overturned many decisions when you were Immigration Minister. But it seems now that you're the Social Services Minister, more and more appeals to the AAT are going your way. Have you changed any of the personnel there? Have you cherry-picked some people to place in there at your disposal?
Well, government is regularly making appointments to these
Have you made
panels,
any appointments recently?
But I can't claim that has been responsible for this initiative, but the government has taken a very strong view about rorting when it comes to welfare. Welfare is for people who need it, not who want to game it, and I'm pleased that the appeals mechanism is backing up the decisions of the government, and we've already introduced tougher measures relating to government doctors having to approve your condition in relation to your disability support pension application. We've tightened up the portability arrangement so people can't troop off overseas for as long as they like and continue to pick up the DSP. You don't get sort of holiday pay when you're on the DSP. And we've put over $200 million in this budget into strengthening our compliance and welfare cop on the beat measures through the Department of Human Services. So we promised a tougher cop on the beat, and that's for welfare, a stronger welfare cop on the beat, and that's exactly what we're delivering.
Are you surprised the Admin Appeals Tribunal is being so supportive of the minister's measures?
I'm pleasantly encouraged.
Are you astounded?
Well, let's just say, it's great to see. I mean, being in previous portfolios and other places, and your listeners would be well aware of many of these decisions.
Yes.
And look, I respect the role that they have to play, and they will often look at the sort of black letter of the law in this. And that's why it is important that ministers can make decisions. And I would regularly make decisions as Immigration Minister under the intervention powers, where an appeals process could only make one decision, which wasn't, in my view, in the interests of the country. And, that's why the intervention power was there, to overturn those decisions.
Okay. Running out of time to legislate reform due to start July 1, with deals yet to be reached on cutting family tax benefits, income supplement and unemployment benefits, the Palmer United Party Senator, the last one standing, D.A. Wang, there's no one left, he's it, has declared he won't support your changes to the paid parental leave scheme. Now, I know that you have been able to somehow guide your way through the Senate and use all your best diplomatic skills to con these people into believing you're one of them. But it looks like you've run out of chances now with some of these people.
Well, we were never counting the pup votes on any of the measures. I mean, they'd made it pretty clear even before we'd announced them that they were opposing them. And I think that's a pretty irresponsible position to take, but that's the position they've taken. So
what about the rest of them?
I haven't wasted any time talking to
them. So you haven't spoken to Clive or you haven't been with Chinese
food
with Clive?
Because their position is well known, and I'm not going to waste their time, and I presume they don't want to waste ours. But the other senators have been very engaging on all these issues. We aren't running out of time. That's just simply not true. I mean, some measures can take months to get passed. Others can go more quickly. We're engaged in those discussions with the senators now. Oftentimes in the media, they want to create a sense of crisis around these things. There's no sense of crisis around this whatsoever. We're following the normal process, we're working through the issues with the crossbench. We wouldn't have to do this, of course, if the Labor Party were actually going to support savings. They seem to be in a fit of self-congratulation today because they're actually going to support a saving that they themselves proposed. I mean, it is a drop in an ocean in terms of what they're supporting on savings. They've got a $50 billion hole in their own fiscal setup in relation to the budget. I've called them budget smugglers because they think they can make promises about things without having to pay for them, and that's exactly what they do.
Now, I've got an email. What's the best phone number to report a welfare cheat? It's 131524.
That's it.
131524. Everyone's got a boss, it appears, except the Human Rights Commissioner, Gillian Triggs. I think you're going to need a shoehorn to get her out of her position. Mr. Dutton is doing his level best. She's made some outrageous claims, including the presence of armed guards on Christmas Island that we dispelled 6 months ago. She's now tried to link or suggest a link between Australia and turning back boats, the policy, and then Indonesia's refusal to negotiate over the death penalty for two of the Bali Nine. She's overstepped the mark on many, many occasions, but at the end of the day, is she here until 2017? Is that the end of it?
Well, that's how it works. But, I mean, the great tragedy about all this is putting aside, you know, various government ministers and the government's differences of views with Gillian Triggs, I don't think the Human Rights Commission has been well served by her tenure. I don't think Australians feel better and more supportive of the Australian Human Rights Commission because of her engagement in various issues. Looking outside in, I'm sure looks like a completely partisan approach to these sorts of issues. And I don't think that serves the institution of the Human Rights Commission very well. And above all, that's the thing that I think should be weighing on her mind and those who advise her.
Finally, there's a piece in Fairfax papers this morning about Conservative government MPs warning the Prime Minister he faces a, quote, savage internal backlash over the issue of same-sex marriage. They've even likened to the split over the ETS that cost Malcolm Turnbull the Liberal Party leadership back in 2009. Now, you're on the record, your opposition to gay marriage. You're entitled to your view. There are people from the Labor side of politics who share your view. A notable senator there has expressed that view. And I don't know what the Prime Minister does with this one. He's held a certain view for a long, long time. Like others, including me, that view sort of changes with time and happen. You know, things happen in your life and you think about it. I don't think Tony Abbott, I made the point on the Today Show this morning, is the type of person to be threatened by these warnings. I mean, I know people are fervent about it on both sides of the argument.
Of course.
But do you need to threaten the Prime Minister from within?
Well, I don't believe anyone has, number one. Number two is I'm quite certain the Prime Minister hasn't changed his view on the central question on these issues, and he certainly hasn't indicated that to me or anyone else. This debate shouldn't be owned by any one side of politics, but also, Ray, it shouldn't be owned by any one side of the debate. And look, I think there's a lot further to go on this question and on this issue. It is a very significant change to a long-standing institution, not just within this country, but more extensive than that. And I think the Australian people have to be taken along on this issue. And, you know, the questions about conscience votes and these sorts of things, well, you know, we're not even at that stage yet because they're... for a bill to go to the floor of the House of Representatives, the government has to be able to permit that to occur. And I think there is a lot more discussion, a lot more investigation into these issues. And the presumption that there's only one question to be put here, I think is frankly presumptuous. I mean, there are migrant communities and ethnic communities all across this country who have very strong views about this issue, not just those from, you know, Christian, you know, Anglo-Saxon backgrounds, but right across the community. And I don't think a lot of those voices have been heard yet in this debate. And I think it's important that this decision isn't imposed upon people around the country and that it's properly ventilated and everyone's view gets to get worked through.
In relation to this, and this is a personal view, I haven't thought much about it. And I'm 60. And I have spoken to people about it more recently because of the prominence in the media, and I play a role in the media. And I spoke to someone, and I can't identify them because that would therefore identify their son, who's homosexual, who has a partner, and he's a young man, you know, in his 20s, late 20s, who wants to commit to that partner in a formal sense. And the father had a similar view to me. And said, I'll ask you two things. He said, why shouldn't he find some happiness in the same way that I was able to find happiness with my wife? Secondly, if it was your son, would you feel differently? Or your daughter? And I did an honesty test and probably thought, yeah, I don't have a homosexual son or daughter. And I'd embrace them with all the love and care that I embrace any heterosexual child I had. So, and I have had friends over the last 40 years who've handled that, some appropriately, some inappropriately. Particularly those who did it 30 or 40 years ago. It's a really difficult thing to deal with, Scott, when your son comes home and says, Dad, I'm gay. It's really difficult. And then you start to think, and my 21-year-old daughter, who's now based in the United States, had said to me, you know, and she lectures me quite often about a whole range of things, and she knows more than Dad.
That's the daughter's job, isn't
it? And she said, Dad, you need to, you know, reassess things. You know, you need to be a little more open-minded about all of this. And I guess to a certain extent, I am being a bit more open-minded about it, and I keep thinking about my friend and his son.
Well, I think that that's the sort of time we need, I think, for those sorts of reflections to be had. The presumption that there's only one answer to this question, too, that same-sex marriage under the Marriage Act is the only answer. Philip Ruddock last night was referring to a French-style outcome where you would have registered civil unions at the federal level. So there would no longer be, under that proposal, a Marriage Act as such. There would be a Civil Union Act where you would get equality of all relationships before the law. And then issues of marriage would be determined by the various religious bodies. Now, I mean, I think there are a range of options yet which haven't been ventilated. Because if you say on board with the same-sex marriage bandwagon, then somehow you're a homophobe or something
I don't think that's very helpful. You're offering via what you just said an explanation and a solution, I think.
And I think that needs to be ventilated. The idea that there's just one answer and this has to be done now, and it has to be forced on the Australian population without further discussion for people to reflect, I'm very uneasy about that. And so I think it's time for people to have a bit of a breather, to think about this and to consider what the other options are. And rather than lecturing everybody about what should be done and when it should be done and what it should look like and all the rest of it, I think there should be time for the country to think about this, for politicians to think about it. And I think there's a way through this, because on the other side, whatever the outcome is, I would hope this wouldn't be a thing which sort of tears the country apart. It shouldn't.
There's got to be a mutual respect here.
I agree.
From both points of view. And I don't know who's right and who's wrong. And I know that I've shifted as I've got older on a whole range of issues, as no doubt you will. If you live long enough, Minister, you'll find that at 60 you feel a whole lot different to how you felt when you were 30, 40 and 50.
Well, I think that's always true. And, you know, Australians have got a lot of common sense on these things. And I trust their common sense. And at the moment, I don't think the broader Australian community have had the opportunity, I think, to really, you know, consider all the options and all the implications of this.
All right. Sensible debate's required. And I look forward to your company next Monday for another sensible debate.
Thanks very much, Ray. Scott, see you from Canberra.
Yeah, all the best. Scott Morrison with us, as he is usually on a Monday, today and a Tuesday because of the public holiday. Ray says, Chris, we are avid listeners to your program. Two children these days, and they're hooked as well. Every morning they rush to be ready for school so they can hear the start of your show and the jingle. They ask as soon as they get into the car, have we missed Ray? They were devastated when you were sick last week. Could you please sell out of them and get them on time one morning? That'd be really good. Their names are Aiden 7 and Ashling 6. Thank you, Ray. Well, Aiden and Ashling, you 7 and 6-year-old, do as Mummy and Daddy say, please, and make sure you're not late for school. It's 18 minutes to 10. My comments earlier about the naming of the New South Wales State of Origin team. By the way, Women's World Cup update, the Matildas are 1-0 down against the USA after just 40 minutes. So, and that's on SBS, by the way. The Matildas are down 1-0 against the USA after 40 minutes. Anyway, my comments about the New South Wales State of Origin side, with Queensland, of course, being named as well, has prompted a call from the Channel 7 sports anchor, Jim Wilson. Hello, James.
Hello, Ray.
Well, there I was, Jim, sitting there quietly this morning at 8 o'clock in a meeting. I look up and see your head, stage left, naming the New South Wales side, and I thought, what's he doing there?
I love my rugby league.
I know you do. And then I'm thinking, they've paid $1 billion for this Channel 9. It's on Sky News. I check Channel 7. It's not on there. It's not on Channel 9. And what happened?
Well, it was offered to Channel 9, your employer. And
I've declared that, by the way.
No, I know you have. Hmm. But I took a leaf out of your book. I thought to myself, you work 8 days a week.
Yeah.
The gig's on offer. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this gig, when I got the call last Friday. And I thought, yep. It's an opportunity, and we want to spread the gospel as far as rugby league's concerned. And I think, in all fairness, I mean, they went to the rights holder, Channel 9, I think, last week, and for some reason, Channel 9 said no. And Channel 7 was offered it for Sunrise. We said yes. Sky also took it live, and that's how it unfolded. So I think, in fairness to the rights holder, they were given first crack.
I thank you for phoning, and that answers it, very simply.
I just
sitting there, you know how I don't like conspiracy theories, but I'm thinking there, now they're negotiating the rights at the moment. Is this the New South Wales Rugby League NRL giving Channel 9 a liven up in the middle of the rights negotiations beyond 2017?
I think, I'm not sure about that.
I'm drawing a long bow.
But I'll tell you what it is. I think that Dave Trodden came to me last week in the New South Wales Rugby League said, Jim, there's this opportunity on Tuesday morning to announce the Blues squad live at 8:05 on Sunrise.
Mm.
Sky also took the live feed, and I just went, you're kidding. I said, mate, if that means getting the New South Wales team on air, I don't care what channel it's on. I mean, let's get it to air. And doesn't matter who you, whatever network you work for, there is nothing like Origin, and I can't wait for it to be in Melbourne next Wednesday, despite the fact that I think Origin should be in Sydney and Brisbane. I think it's probably going to outsell Sydney and Brisbane.
Jimmy, don't start me on that, will you?
What do you reckon? Jimmy,
it should never be taken to Melbourne.
No.
It's a product that is domiciled in either Sydney or Brisbane.
Exactly.
And whoever decided, the bloke with the ponytail, the Porsche, and the earring, whoever decided the bloke with that piercing should be put back in his box forevermore.
Yeah.
It belongs in Sydney, it belongs in Brisbane, and nowhere else.
Agree.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for jumping on the phone and explaining it to me.
Thanks, Ray. Good on you, mate.
All the best. Jimmy Wilson there, the Channel 7 sports anchor. 131873 is that open line number, 2GB.com. It's a bizarre story out of Queensland. Now, Anastasia Palaszczuk has gone up there in light of the Four Corners program and punted not just the Greyhound Racing Control Board or the equivalent thereof, but she's got rid of all of the racing boards, got rid of all the directors of the state's racing boards. After a commission of inquiry found the greyhound sector had failed to ensure integrity and welfare of racing animals. So the board of the harness racing, what have they got to do with the greyhound live baiting story? They're gone. What have the people that administer Racing Queensland got to do with it? Nothing. But they're gone as well. Anyway, the chief executive of Racing Queensland has been given an 8-day extension to the time he's been shown why he should keep his job. Darren Condon was stood aside last week and given 5 days to make a case to keep his job in the wake of the damning report on live baiting. A spokesman for the Racing Minister, Bill Byrne, says Mr Condon now has been granted an extension at the request of his lawyers. In complex matters like this, it's not unusual for extensions to be granted. This ensures Mr Condon has appropriate time to put his case forward before a final decision is made. The government said the CEO now has until June 17 to show why he should keep his job. Well, Anastasia Palaszczuk is off to the United States of America, I think, on Thursday. And I don't know who's... There's going to be now one board across all the racing. One board. Queensland Racing Board responsible for greyhound racing, harness racing and thoroughbred racing. One board, as I understand it. And I don't know whether the previous board was doing a good job or a bad job, but I do know one thing. New governments like this that know bugger all about what they're doing need to be very, very careful about what they do in relation to matters like this. There are a whole range of people I know in harness racing, for instance, who know a lot about the sport and do a really, really good job of administering the sport. And all of a sudden, they're all gone. Replaced by whom? People with no knowledge of harness racing or thoroughbred racing or, for that matter, greyhound racing? It's a very, very dangerous path the Queensland government is treading at the moment. And don't forget, a lot of money flows from gambling to the coffers of the Queensland government. Now, 19 minutes gone. The USA still leading the Matildas, as I check on SBS, by 1-0. It's 9 minutes away from 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian fleet sales. Call 1300 used cars.
Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the road. Chains are required. Now, the M4 still rather busy through Parramatta down to James Roos Drive. That's eastbound. The road bridge looking okay in both directions. A Forest Bill breakdown on the Crown of the Hill, Warringa Road, citybound. The right-hand turn just there into Arthur Street. The RMS crews are with him, so watch out for them. Mascot Southern Cross Drive still rather busy as you make your way up towards the Moore Park area. And Hoxton Park, a smash on Cow Pasture Road southbound has just been sidelined. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Don't let a sore throat slow you down during winter. Be a warrior, not a worrier, and fight back with Difflam lozenges, an anti-inflammatory medicine. Use only as directed.
Alan phoned me from Kellyville in Sydney. There's a car on Green Road southbound heading back towards Castle Hill near President Road. Tow truck and police there, so take care in the area. We've got an accident. Car on Green Road southbound near President Road. Or President Avenue, I think it is, at Kelly. Well, good on you, mate. Thanks very much for that. Trevor says, I caught you on the Today Show this morning. Wow, I love the navy blue with flashes of grey cardigan you're wearing today. I'm jumping on. Well, I said that I was going to start a push for cardigans. I'm joined by Graham Richardson on Sky News to that end. He says, Tuesday night is schnitzel night at the local, and yes, I'll dag up my light brown cardigan from the wardrobe and we'll wear it. Not sure whether the bride and kids will love it. You have started something here, Ray. Well, therein lies a tale. I'm actually recording a commercial for one of our sponsor, Macca's, this afternoon, and my PA, Sophie, even if she got food poisoning, would say, but the decor's magnificent. She never bags anything. Walked into the office, looked at me, in fact, glared at me, and said, you know you've got to do that ad for Macca's at 12 or 1:45. I said, yes, I know that. She said, what are you wearing? Well, so I'm wearing my cardigan. She said, you can't wear a cardigan to do a commercial. Well, I'm telling you something, Sophie. I'm breaking new ground for the first time ever. A Macca's commercial at 1:45 today, shot in a cardigan. And welcome back. Good to have you company. 131873 is the open line number.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you. I love all the things you say and do. And it's so nice to hear you, Ray. You're gonna be here every day.
Second hour of the program, Ray Hadley Morning Program this Tuesday morning. The Matildas have equalised against the USA through their captain, Lisa Devanna. It's now 1-1 after 33 minutes. 1-1 after 33 minutes, Australia. And the USA in the Women's World Soccer Cup.
And helping to carry on. Oh, the little things mean a lot.
Ray, a lady, says about cardigans. There's a photo on a fan site of Daniel Craig wearing a cardigan. He looks fabulous, Ray. So if the sexiest man on earth can wear one, you can as well. Thank you, Ray, with an E. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Peter, he's in Brisbane. G'day, Pete.
G'day, how are you?
Well, thank you, Peter.
In 1980, I worked for the Commonwealth Bank.
1980. Yes, mate.
And there was a rule that only managers or manager status were allowed to wear suitcases.
Right.
The rest of us, the workers, the ones that counted, had to wear
cardigans. Peter, you've taken me back to another age. This was in Brisbane, was it?
Well, all over.
So the Commonwealth Bank, right across Australia, if you're a manager or above, you wore a suit coat. But if you were a teller or someone working in the front office, you had to wear a cardigan, not a coat.
That's correct.
Now, what about shorts and long socks, Pete?
There was a manager once that said, if you exercise your right to wear shorts on my floor, I'll exercise my right to have you transferred.
Well, you see, that was the Commonwealth Bank. Darryl Broman, a proud Queenslander who's been in New South Wales for nearly 40 years and we can't get rid of him, worked for the Bank of New South Wales at Penrith. And I've got photos adorning my office of Darryl in an open neck shirt in shorts and long socks. And this would have been in the 1980s.
Looked like the clerk of the court bar called him.
Beg your pardon about Buck Alden?
He looked like the clerk of the court from Buck Alden.
Is that what the clerk of the court at Buck Alden does?
Always. Shorts, short sleeve shirt, long socks and a tie.
You seem to have an intimate knowledge of the courts in Buck Alden. Can you tell me why, Peter?
they were the hit parade in the city, weren't they? All right, mate.
Isn't it funny how life changes? So managers and above, suit coats for the Commonwealth Bank across Australia in the 1980s, lowly tellers and those other than managers, cardigans, and that was it.
That's correct.
I might get a start with the Commonwealth Bank. I'll see you later, Pete. All the best, mate.
Yep, bye.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for the information. 131873. Andrew says from Camden, great to hear the minister, who can be balanced, impressed by Scott Morrison. Plenty of people are impressed by Scott Morrison. I got some emails after he'd left. Yeah, love the show, says Martin at Carryong, which is on the central coast of New South Wales. Scott Morrison, what a speaker. The bloke should be running the country. Love listening to him speak. Keep up the good work. Well, maybe one day you'll get your wish, I would think. 131873. Wendy says the court decisions you spoke about in the first hour are way out of touch compared to what our society demands. Somebody wake up and change the mess. Well, it's like what I said to the minister. We've got a federal court judge who may be the most distinguished jurist in Australia, who thinks that the letter of the law would allow a paedophile to continue to reside here when the minister's already punted him out of the joint. I mean, he must inhabit a different world to the one I inhabit. That's all I could say. Ray, I've been taking Nature B, one of your sponsors, for 10 years, and for the last 3 years, I haven't had a cold or flu. I went to the doctors for a blood test 4 weeks ago, and the doctor says, Pat, you're 65, you can have the flu shot for free. I said, why not? Last Thursday, I got the worst flu ever. I've been in bed for 4 days and still not feeling any better. So much for the flu shot. Well, that's funny, Pat. He says, I think they give all the old people the flu shot for free to kill them off to save the government money. Well, that may well be the case in your case, Pat. But I check with my doctor because I have my flu shot every year, and I don't think I've had a worse dose of the flu than I had last week, resulting in 3 days off. And he told me that it's a precaution. It's a safety net, that it will not prevent you getting the flu. It may, in fact, make sure you don't get a really bad dose. But he said in some cases, and I'm a case in point, and obviously you are as well, you get it, and you get it just as badly as you get it if you had the flu shot. And there's no explanation. It just happens, unfortunately. And in your case, in my case, it has happened. 131873, 38 and a half gone, and the USA and Australia locked up at one all in the Women's World Soccer Cup. One all it is between Australia and the USA in the opening of the Women's World Cup. And the Australians were down 1-0, got back to one all. And, oh, the Americans just glanced a header to the side of the post. Otherwise, it would have been 2-1. But they just missed out on getting the goal. 131873 is the open line number. Alan's at Piermont in Sydney. I'm visiting from Townsville. Can see the 2GB building, give us a wave. Well, Alan, it'd be little point in me waving to you because if I waved, you'd have to be standing on the Anzac Bridge at the back of the building. That's the only thing I can see, apart from Blackwattle Bay at the back, but I can't see any of the buildings that you may well be in. 131873 is our open lane number, 2GB.com. You click on the feedback icon. Just a note for our Sydney listeners from Ben. As you're probably aware, the RMS are building new exit entry ramps on the M4 motorway for Kent Road at Orchard Hills, which is out towards Penrith. The speed limit approaching the Kent Road construction zone on the M4 has been dropped from 110 to 80. I have to travel through this section of the M4 every day for work. Over the long weekend, I was abused vehemently by truck drivers and long weekend traffic heading west for the long weekend because I dropped down to the 80k posted speed limit. Can you please remind drivers that the speed limit has changed? It is signposted on the M4 approaching Kent Road. Highway Patrol are there policing this part of the M4. Love the show. Good on you, Ben. Timely reminder. I must admit on the M2... when they're doing casual roadworks, you know, where it gets down to 40 sometimes at 4:30 in the morning, I get flown past by blokes still doing 100. And the lights are flashing. It's hard to miss them when it's still dark, but they somehow miss them. 131873 is the open lane number, 2GB.com. Click on the feedback icon, and it's 12 minutes past 10. Simon says, I worked for a radio station manager in the 90s who wore socks, sandals and a safari suit as standard. Look, I'm not going to start making comments about people's method of dress, far be it from me, but the one thing I'll say is socks and sandals are not a go. They're just not. It's like blokes going down to the servo with their footy socks and thongs on. Just not a look. Not a look. But it's come to my attention, and I might have to enlist the help of my able deputy in the adjoining studio, the Bowen, that I'm getting bagged heavily around the building, apparently. And it's remarkable how things come back to haunt those doing the bagging. Sophie and the Duck have been bagging you heavy re your dress sense.
Yeah, oh, very heavy. I felt as, you know, your loyal servant
exactly.
that I should let you know about this in the office this morning, spraying you left, right, and centre.
When I wasn't around?
Yeah. It was actually downstairs while we were getting a coffee. Sophie walked in and she was filthy.
About the cardigan?
Yeah. Duck couldn't believe it, particularly given your television appearance this afternoon.
Mm.
I mean, this is coming from the Duck, a fashion icon himself.
Looks like a colour brochure for Woodcock or funerals. Don't worry about him. Okay, well...
I don't have a problem with it. It's
no,
not too bad.
It's nice and warm. It's fine. 131873 is the open line number. Greg's in Coffs Harbour. G'day, Greg.
How you going, Ray?
Good, thank
you. Just
have
to correct something the fella said about the Commonwealth Bank attire.
Yes, mate.
I was there for 30-odd years, mate. I never heard of that one.
New one?
No.
What was it?
You wore whatever your manager told you to wear, and if he had a high dress standard, you had a high dress standard.
So, in other words, it wasn't officially the bank's business, but the manager who was... I mean, back in those days, Greg, the manager was a significant person in the community, the bank manager.
That's true.
A very significant... I mean, I can remember when I was a boy, if someone was a doctor or a teacher or a bank manager, they were very respected members of the community.
Yeah, things went downhill from the late 80s onwards, right?
Yes, unfortunately, I think you might be right, Greg. Now, so in other words, it wasn't the policy of the bank, but the manager dictated on whether you could wear a cardigan or a suitcase.
I think the circular instructions at the time were neat and business-like attire, and his opinion of that was what you wore. And if he said you needed to wear a tie, you didn't really buck the system in those days, so you wore a tie. And then there were other branches, like out in the far west of the state and up in Darwin, where we had shorts and long socks and open-neck shirts, and that went right through to 86 when the bank introduced the uniform.
Okay, so it's the domain of the manager.
Even the early uniforms had open-neck shirts, short sleeves, long socks. That was part of the first catalogues that go now.
Mm, what about the cardigan? How did your manager feel about cardigans, Greg?
I don't recall cardigans, Ray, but I do remember the boys at the Dubbo branch in the loan section were called the Mod Squad because they all wore leather coats.
Oh, no.
Yes, they did. I could name them, but...
Well, please do. I'd like to go through the lairs at Dubbo wearing the Mod Squad coats. So they look like the Mod Squad from the TV program with wide lapels and not quite a trench coat, but down sort of towards the knees type coat.
No, they were just like a suit, normal suit coat length, to about down to your backside. But I think the boss of the loan section, Peter Couples, he started the trend, and the rest of the boys there, Steve Kraft and Ross Challoner and the boys, I hope they're listening.
So do I.
Yep, they would all strut out in their leather jackets every morning,
Yeah, like rats with gold teeth.
Yeah, you're keeping up with the boss.
Exactly. Hey, Greg, nice to talk to you, mate.
Thanks, Ray.
Good memories, Greg. All the best to you up there at Coffs Harbour. 131873 is the open line number. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Marie.
That's good. I just rang to thank you for the clothesline.
Oh, this is Marie from Plumpton.
One that the clothesline fell on her.
Suffered the injury. Now, this is an ongoing saga because we thought it was a particular brand of clothesline and it wasn't.
That's right.
Because they got a lifetime guarantee. But the people from Masters who sponsor my Saturday program, they came to the party, and you've got the new clothesline.
Yes. It's been about 2.5 months waiting for it in there, but they came on Tuesday, and they put the clothesline on.
And it's all installed, ready to go.
Yes, it is. I haven't used it yet because the weather hasn't been very nice anyway.
No.
And the concrete needed to set.
Yes. Yeah, well, you've got to make sure that concrete sets before you start hanging things.
I don't want it to fall on me anymore.
No, we don't want it to fall on you either.
I haven't got any more hips to break. I done my right one 3 years ago, and now I've got my left one done. So I haven't got any more hips to break.
You've got matching hips, darling. All right.
Oh, well, yes, I do.
Well, I'm glad the people from Masters were able to look after you and
replace your
place.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, sweetie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marie. You're a very kind lady to go to all the trouble to ring us back. 131873 is our open line number. It's 20 past 10. Michelle, hello.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for taking my call.
That's a pleasure, Michelle.
I'm ringing to thank you for raising awareness of motor neurone disease.
Right.
My husband was diagnosed 5.5 months ago, and our plight up on your webpage, the 2GB webpage.
Yeah, well, we got a phone call from one of your friends out in the bush. You're at Mungindi, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. We live on a cattle farm here, yeah. Jeff and I, and our little boy Jack, who's six, yeah. And he has Dravet syndrome.
Yeah, so, it's I made the comment that how much can a family bear? Yeah, Jeff's your husband. What
yes,
age is Jeff?
Right.
Jeff's in his 40s, is he, Michelle?
Yes, he's 48, very young.
Just a terrible, terrible disease, my darling.
Yes, dreadful. I'm a registered nurse and looked after someone 20 years ago, nursed someone 20 years ago out in Western Queensland, and not much has changed in that time, unfortunately.
No, well,
for the prognosis of motor neurone disease.
Well, let me assure you that there are some good people, and we have the best researchers in the world doing it right here.
Yes.
But we still don't have the answers. Now, this function for your family is on the 24th of June.
That's right. It's at Weemela, which is a small town.
Mm.
I think it's sort of halfway or a quarter of the way to Moree.
Exactly,
it's a very
yeah.
small town. And Heather Regin knows my mother-in-law. I think they're craft ladies. They do sewing and
yeah.
together, so...
Well,
contribution.
They don't think that you and Jack and your husband Jeff should be left alone in this battle, and they want to help you. And
right.
It's on our website, so if anyone can get along there on the 24th of June, 11 o'clock in the morning, and just show your support for the family, because this is a family in desperate need of support. If we can do anything at all, Michelle, with your battles, and you have some battles, we'll do whatever we can.
Thank you, Ray. Could I just mention, too, on the long weekend, I went down to a golf day. An hour west of here at Dirranbandi, and some of the people down there that were raising money for my family have been in drought for 3 to 4 years straight.
Mm.
They were still there supporting my family, and they raised $20,000, a little community. So
Dirranbandi,
my family are so humbled and appreciative of everybody, and there are many more community events that are coming up in this area to support my family. We're just so humbled.
Well, can you do me a favour? I don't wish to impose upon you because you've got a devil of a job as things go anyway.
Yes.
Can we stay in contact with you and make sure we tell our listeners in that region when these events are coming up so we can publicise it?
Certainly, Ray. I'd love if you could do that.
My
thank
pleasure.
You for everything you do.
If we can do anything at all, Michelle, you go back to the switch and we'll give you a number. You can call me directly and we'll do whatever we can for you.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you,
have
Michelle.
Have a good day.
All the best, darling. A little boy with problems, he's six, and a husband facing the most dreadful future with motor neurone disease. It just is not fair. I love it when I hear from Shane Webke because it's always a story. He's on the line. What's happening, mate?
Ray, I had thought, and I'm almost loath to admit this, I had thought the only thing that Daryl Brahman and I had in common is that we both played in the front row, but I'm just listening to your stories this morning about when he went and worked at the Bank of New South Wales. Well, when I finished school, and this was considerably after Daryl, because I'm quite a bit younger than him, I went to work for the new incarnation of the Bank of New South Wales, which was the Westpac Banking Corporation.
Mm.
And unlike Dale, it wasn't forced upon me to wear shorts and long socks. I actually chose to do so. I would think that I was the last person ever to work in a bank who wore shorts and long socks, because one of the things I hated when I finished school, I only went to work in a bank because my brother had, and I thought, I'm going to go and do this. And so I did. And what I hated about it was wearing long pants. I was a boy from a farm, and I hated it. So anyway, I'm flicking through the corporate gear catalogue one day, and I saw these shorts and these long socks with this bloke. And I said to my manager, I said, mate, am I allowed to wear this? He said, of course you can. So I then purchased the said shorts and long socks and wore them proudly. I have never been accused of being very much into fashion.
No, well, you're in my boat here now. Your next step will be cardigans. You know that, don't you?
And I'll happily embrace it, Ray. Now, the kids always tell me I'm an old man before my time.
Exactly. What year can we pinpoint the wearing of shorts and long socks for Shane Webke? What do you reckon?
Embarrassingly, it would have been 1993.
Excuse me laughing. 1993.
So I'm telling you, I was the last bloke on the planet who would have done it. But anyway,
is there any photographic evidence I can put on a website anywhere?
Oh, no photos exist.
All right.
No photos. If they did, the kids would have made posters out of it by now.
Thanks, old mate. I'll talk to you soon. You look after yourself.
Mate.
Good on you.
Will do.
Shane Webke, a publican not far from Toowoomba, and a good fella. And we've had a lot of fun with him over the years. He joined us at Killarney and was on the back of the Wickham Freightline semi-trailer there for a couple of hours as well. But there you go. Something in common with the great Daryl Brahman. Although Daryl was doing it in the 1970s, I don't think he got to the 80s, as I said earlier. Shane Webke has just admitted to wearing them in 1993. Dear, oh dear. 25 and a half past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 used cars.
At Pennant Hills, the truck, he's broken down Pennant Hills Road southbound near the Crescent. Just before Boundary Road, he's causing a few delays in the area. Another truck broken down at North Ride, Lane Cove Road, northbound, taking out lane 2 just near Cox's Road. Through Burwood, Parramatta Road still rather busy in both directions. The M4, good run westbound as you head towards the Blue Mountains. Through the Central Coast, no problems on the Central Coast Highway. And Kosciuszko National Park and surrounding areas, snow and ice on the roads. Chains are required. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Are you buying a car or equipment for your business? Get a fast-tracked application for up to $500,000. NAB can make it happen. Call 13 10 12.
Now, in Sydney, Ian Wallace mentioned this a bit earlier. Dean, we had a truck in the middle lane of Pennant Hills Road, southbound near Railway Street, which isn't too far away from the Pennant Hills pub. Causing some problems, Dean, is it?
Yeah, absolutely, Ray. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, pal.
Excellent. Yeah, look, yeah, there's just a little bit of aggro, a little bit of pushing and shoving going around there. So, central lane, southbound. So, just take care. Traffic frees up afterwards. So, don't get your knickers in a bunch.
Well, yeah, good point. So, if you're coming off the M1, you're heading from up north into the Sydney CBD or getting towards the M2, M7. There's a breakdown truck in the middle lane, Pennant Hills Road, southbound, near Railway Street. Now, that may be there for a little while for truckies who are on the M1 heading south, so take care in the area. 131873 is that open lane number, 2GB.com, right on 10:30. G'day, Jeff.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good, thank you, Jeff.
Ray, thanks for taking my call. I know you would have mentioned this yesterday, but I just wanted to bring it up again today. Ray, in the early hours of Saturday morning, there was a despicable act that took place at the Centenary of Anzac Reserve out there in Kellyville, and I know you know it well.
Yeah, I did mention. This is the brass plaques that have been knocked off.
Correct. There are 6 plaques that have been removed, Ray, and the value of these in dollar terms would be very negligible. But to the veterans of the area and anybody that attended the Centenary of Anzac on the 25th of April, they are priceless.
Yeah, this is Councillor Lowe, is it?
It is, sir, yes.
Yeah, good on you, Jeff, from the Hillshire Council. Look, I mentioned yesterday, and if people missed it, some lowlife has knocked off these plaques from the memorial. Now, the Hillshire area gets a crowd, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, of somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people at that playing field on Anzac Day. It's just one of the biggest events in non-metropolitan Sydney, and obviously is of some significance, not just on Anzac Day, but right through the year in relation to returned servicemen and women.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, Ray. Now, a couple of reasons why we moved. Number one, as you just mentioned, the size of the crowds got so big that we just could no longer hold it at the Arthur Whitlam Park. But also, that's a big hole now, which is where the Castle Hill train station is going to be, West Rowling. But, Ray, when we moved the memorial in 2013, we were smart enough to put in a couple of CCTV cameras, and I just wanted to share that with you and your listeners. We've narrowed down the event to between 01:16 and 01:39 on Saturday morning.
So that little window between 1:16 and 1:39.
Correct.
Is there any vision of the people that have done it or just that time frame?
Look, Ray, I haven't seen the footage, and obviously for operational reasons, I don't want to go into what the police are looking at right now. All I can tell you is that it was an individual. He can be seen ripping the plaques off the wall, throwing them in the bushes, and the cameras even managed to pick him up, dropping one as he's going back towards his car on his second run. So he's ripped them off, got a car into position, and then taken off. But I'd be very grateful, as would the local area commander, Superintendent Rob Critchlow, if anybody could just dig back in their memory banks and see if they've heard anything. Please phone Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or Castleville Police Station. I'd be most grateful, and so would the people of
Hill. Well, the comment I made yesterday, I'll make again today, Jeff. Whatever they did with this bastard wouldn't be enough. Perhaps the cane that's used in Singapore, a good flogging, would be required for someone who'd be so low as to knock off war memorial plaques.
Ray, I concur completely, and I think also in discussions I had yesterday with some ex-policemen, I think it's a federal offence, not only a state offence. And hopefully we'll come down on this person with a great deal of no love lost.
Let's hope you find them. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Ray, for taking my call.
Councillor Jeff Lowe from Hillshire Council. Shocking. David, g'day.
G'day, Ray. Up at coming down Palmyra Avenue up at Wilmot just before. Couple of morons monstering a mobile speed camera coming up there.
Well, I tell you, he'll be interested in that because there was a story about a week ago by Duncan Gay in the Telegraph, and these are these people who block the mobile speed camera so as to prevent it doing its job. So we've got the address. We'll talk to Mr. Gay and get someone out there really quickly, David.
No worries, mate. Commodore and a Tarago involved.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Well, obviously, they're unemployed or unemployable, and we'll get someone out there to move them on because I think the minister was going to take some action, and I don't know if he's able to do that yet, but we'll find out. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to have your say. It's 26 to 11.
Macquarie National News.
Natalie, g'day.
Good morning, Ray. Immigration Minister Peter Dutton has accused the opposition of scaremongering by claiming people could be made stateless as a result of proposed new citizenship laws. Investigations are underway into almost 200 cases where foreign investment rules on residential real estate may have been breached. Racing Queensland's chief executive has been given an extension for the time he has to show why he should keep his job. And Malaysian authorities have arrested a European man for stripping naked and urinating on Mount Kinabalu prior to a deadly earthquake. Locals believe the act angered tribal spirits and caused the tremor. To sport, and Carlton star Chris Judd has just announced he's retiring from AFL after snapping his ACL on the weekend. Ray, we'll have more news and sport in 25 minutes.
Thank you very much. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Ray, can we get the expert on shorts, long socks, and the occasional cardigan? And you know the bloke, he's a TV legend, Russell Coit, a very funny guy. Well, it's funny you should mention Russell Coit. I don't know, I've been doing this particular job for 15 years, but I think maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I welcomed the aforementioned Russell Coit, and I have a great deal of respect and admiration for Russell Coit. His Outback Adventures on Channel 10, some of the greatest sort of life adventure TV we've ever seen. Right up there with Mr. Attenborough and others who've gone in search of animals and found them. But thank you for mentioning Russell, he of the shorts and long socks and cardigan. Let's go back in time to my discussion back then with Russell Coit.
You are a junior. Russell Coit Senior was your father.
Yeah.
Did you get called Rusty Coit as a young man? Was that...
Yes, I did. My father, Rusty Coit, was a great man. Ray, I think you spent... I know that he used to like to go fishing together.
Yeah, we did Barramundi fishing.
Barramundi fishing, and as we all know, the... Ray, Rusty Coit was tragically killed in an Outback accident. I remember his last words to me were, "Russ, are you sure the handbrake's on?" And I think that epitomised our relationship, our time together. He was a great man, as you are a great man, Ray.
Thanks,
and
Ray.
He sadly missed.
How did he die?
Well, the handbrake wasn't on.
That's Rusty Coit. And actually, that's 2002. That's 13 years ago. I would have no idea that it was 2002, but that's when it was. Scott says from Sweden. Ray, Scott Goodwin in Sweden. We spoke when I was on holidays back in Sydney in February. He's the police officer in Sweden. Just finished my shift. It's 2:30 a.m. here. You keep me company while I drive home on the app. All the best to you, Scotty. Nice to hear from you. Nice to have your company. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Now, apart from the breakdown we've got on Pennant Hills Road, there's a van in the centre lane on the Cumberland Highway, southbound near Carlingford Road. So that's a continuation, of course, of Pennant Hills Road. They call it the Cumberland Highway or Pennant Hills Road. But now there's a van in the centre lane on Pennant Hills Road / Cumberland Highway southbound near Carlingford Road. So they'll be near the Carlingford Shopping Centre there on your left-hand side. Henry's online. Hello, Henry.
Ray, hello. Shorts.
Shorts.
I wore shorts at the Bank of New South Wales, Maroubra Junction, back in 1963.
63.
It was authorised by our manager at the time, Sidney J. Ganain.
Right.
And known affectionately as Surf City.
Sir Sidney.
Surf City. Yeah. Several of us wore shorts, but not everybody.
Right.
So it goes way back to 1963.
63 and beyond. Okay, good on you, Henry. Nice to bring back the memories from working at the Bank of New South Wales, which, of course, as Shane Webke pointed out, became the Westpac Bank. And for those listeners in New South Wales, or maybe those listeners in Queensland who moved from New South Wales, there was another bank a state-owned bank back then in the 1960s called the Rural Bank, which disappeared. It was owned by the New South Wales State Government, the Rural Bank, when governments got involved in owning banks. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto that feedback icon. Sanity Sale is on now. Visit Sanity for three albums for $50. They're So Fresh, Hits of Autumn, Ed Sheeran Multiply, and Meghan Trainor Title. Josh Groban. Now, he was a special guest on the Tonys. I saw the other night. He was very good. Sam Smith in The Lonely Hour. Lee Kernighan, Spirit of the Anzacs. There's also the soundtracks Pitch Perfect 2, Furious 7, among many, many more. And they're all available at Sanity right now. And I did read recently where Sam's recovered from that burst vocal cord. And he's back and he's okay. He's said that he'll be back doing his program. His tour in Australia. He'll return to Australia in the foreseeable future and complete that tour, which he unfortunately had to interrupt because of that vocal cord. So he'll be back, all you Sam Smith fans. Fear not, he's coming back to Australia yet again. Anyway, if you get along to Sanity, you'll find Sanity available with all these great songs, and the albums are available, three of them at the moment, three of them for only $50. This was another version that was done for the Continuous Call team.
I've made a vow, for better or for worse. I believe they're more than friends now. It's time someone spilt the dirt. In a
That's that lunatic Ben Robertson pretending to be Sam Smith. Anyway, Sanity, proud sponsor of the Ray Hadley Morning Show and supplier of the Ray Hadley Country Music Collection Volume 3. Available now, supporting Professor Dominic Ray's research into motor neurone disease. Sanity, providing you with great service and great value. Don and Lynn in Chinchilla. Hello, Uncle Arthur. Saw you on Channel 9 this morning. The flu knocked you about a bit. Look after yourself. No, I'm okay, Don and Lynn. Thank you, from Chinchilla. Uncle Arthur. Yes, Uncle Arthur was another character who wore cardigans exclusively, didn't he? 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Jennifer's in Parks. Ray, wanted to email you and thank you for the wonderful interview you did with Dr. Ian Nicholson. I'm his country cousin, one of his biggest fans. We are the same age. He recently rearranged his operating schedule to attend my father's funeral and deliver the eulogy. A wonderful, wonderful man, amazing surgeon, and so humble. Well, I got a note from Dr. Nicholson, who, with his colleagues, was operating on children and adults in Fiji and saving lives. I think over 30 lives they saved in the space of about 6 days over there with their expertise. And he was embarrassed by the interview and humbled, he said. And look, we've just had the Queen's birthday honours, and I don't know who makes these decisions on Australian of the Year. I suspect the Prime Minister has a fair say. I would ask him to look at the work of Dr. Ian Nicholson and other men and women like him, who four times a year go to other places across the world at their own expense, fly in equipment, and save the lives of little children who would be facing a death sentence were it not for the likes of Ian Nicholson and others. They are saints in every way. 17.5 minutes to 11. Some sports stories here. Unfortunately, AFL star Chris Judd has now announced his retirement from the game after that career-ending knee injury he suffered during Carlton's game against the Adelaide Crows last weekend. He played for the West Coast Eagles from 2002 to 2007. He won a Brownlow with them in 2004 and a premiership in 2006. He won the Norm Smith Medal in the West Coast loss to Sydney in the 2005 Grand Final. He moved to Carlton in 2008 and won his second Brownlow in 2010. He's 31 and played 279 AFL games. I don't know Chris, but by all accounts, is a really decent man. We wish him all the very best. This is a tragic story coming out of the New South Wales Rugby League. I had some inquiries about it yesterday, but couldn't give you the answers required. It involves a 20-year-old Cabramatta Shield player named Kurt Drysdale, who was injured in a match against Wentworthville at Ringrose Park this past Sunday. He sustained a neck injury whilst being tackled. Kurt was stabilised on the ground and flown to Royal North Shore Hospital for surgery, which took place on Sunday night. He's in an induced coma, which is appropriate after that surgery. The New South Wales Rugby League has contacted both the Cabramatta and Wente clubs to provide appropriate support for both Kurt and his family and other players from both teams. Our thoughts are with Kurt, says the New South Wales Rugby League. A tragic accident, apparently, and we won't know too much more until young Kurt comes out of the coma. But he's in an induced coma, having been operated on since Sunday. And Ray, on a more positive note, did you see that the AFL community raised $2.2 million for motor neurone disease in about a week? Yes, well, I spoke about it on Friday, Robert, from the ACT. It was after Neil Denaher appeared on the Melbourne Footy Show. And Neil, of course, suffers, as I've told you before, with MND, being an ex-player and coach in the AFL with Melbourne. Do the funds raise link in with the great job you do? No, but they will go to motor neurone disease research. And I don't know specifically. There are a couple of arms of the research, a national body, then state bodies. I don't know where it's headed, but rest assured, it'll be headed towards research into motor neurone disease and it'll be most welcome. That $2.2 million. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. I've only just tuned in, says Sharon in Port Macquarie. I did see you on the Today Show with your cardigan, and you appear to be getting a hard time from your staff. I must admit I'm not a fan, but on my very first date with my husband, he wore a brown cardigan and tan pants. Some years later, I asked him about the choice of attire for our first date, and he said he was testing me to see if I could look past his bad dress sense. Needless to say, I did. I'm now responsible for all of his clothing purchases. Ditch the cardi, Ray. You're not that old, regardless of how comfy they may. Well, Sharon, Shazza, if I can call you that, they are very, very comfortable. Very comfortable indeed. I won't be ditching it. No tests here. It's 11 to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Pennant Hills, we have this truck broken down Pennant Hills Road, lane 2 southbound and near the Crescent, not far from a Boundary Road. Now, those delays on Pennant Hills Road southbound go right back through Thornlea. Also, another truck broken down at North Ride, Lane Cove Road northbound at Cox's Road. At Carlingford, the breakdown there, Pennant Hills Road southbound at Carlingford Road has been removed. At Kellyville, a smash on Green Road near President Road. And Somersby, the M1, the Pacific Motorway, truck broken down lane 1 northbound past the Central Coast Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
You can get the lowest price CTP insurance with GIO. Select GIO when you register your car. Conditions apply. Issuer is GIO.
Now, this World Cup soccer game between the Australian women and the USA, I'm just checking it now, 2-1. The USA have scored again, 62 and a half minutes gone, and Team USA, with the support of the crowd, who are going bananas, leading Australia, the Australian girls, by 2-1. 62 and a half gone, USA 2, the Australian girls 1. 131873, oh, someone sent me a note about the Robertson brothers, where they're appearing. They're in Victoria up until the 20th of June, but then on the 20th of June, they're at Jupiter's Casino on the Gold Coast. So that's Saturday. Then they go to Griffith, for my listeners on 2RG, on the 4th of July, which is a Saturday. Then on the 17th of July, they're off to Cairns. Oh, by the way, Mildura, I do apologise. 27th of June, they're at Mildura, the Arts Centre, for our listeners down there. The Robertson brothers and Dean Bourne appearing as the Big O and the Everly brothers. So it's the 27th of June, Mildura Arts Centre. 4th of July, Griffith Regional Theatre, both Saturday nights. Friday, the 17th of July, they go to Cairns Civic Theatre. 18th of July, which is a Saturday, they're at Townsville Civic Theatre, for our listeners on 4K1G. They're back in Sydney for the State Theatre in Sydney on the 25th of July. And then they go on the 8th of August to the Mackay Entertainment Centre, with Dean Bourne as the Big O and the boys as the Everly Brothers. Dubbo Regional Theatre on the 14th of August, which is a Friday. The 15th, they're at Bathurst Entertainment Centre. Go and see them there. And then on the 21st of August, they're back to Queensland, where they go to the Queensland Performing Arts Centre. You can have a look at them there in Brisbane, the 21st of August. That's where they're appearing. And then they're off to Perth, Tasmania, back to Cessnock on the 26th of September, the Laycock Theatre, North Gosford on the 10th of October, Castle Hill RSL, one of our sponsors, on the 17th of October, the Glen Street Theatre at Belrose on the 23rd of October, South Juniors on the 24th of October, the Evan Theatre at Panthers on the 7th of November, North Sydney Leagues Club on the 28th of November, and their last concert will be the 5th of December, That's Dean Bourne and the Robertson Brothers, St George Basin, Sanctuary Point on the south coast of New South Wales. It's 8 minutes away from 11. It's 5 minutes away from 11. Bowen, would you agree with me that, you know, we're talking about some middle-aged people here criticising me for wearing cardigans. Would you agree that Erin Molan would be in touch with the younger set?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Of course she would be.
She's a mover and a shaker when it comes to fashion.
Yeah.
Well, she's a listener to the program, as you may know. I love Mannequins. Takes a real man, Ray, to wear a cardigan. I bought my boyfriend a beige one, and he won't wear it. Well, to that bloke, who's lucky enough to be dating Erin Mullen in the first place.
You'll be wearing whatever you're told.
Grow a set and wear the cardigan, mate, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Put the cardigan on.
She's a bit biased, though, Ray, because she does love you.
I love her. She's a lovely girl. 131873 is the open line number. 2GB.com. A man who allegedly stole a bulldozer and destroyed a family home, forcing three people inside to run for their lives, has faced a court in Newcastle. Jamie Francis Sager, 48, was arrested at a property at Terralba near Newcastle yesterday morning, accused of a rampage that left the home and four cars destroyed and a family homeless. Sager appeared in Newcastle local court today, where he faced a string of charges, including breaching an apprehended violence order, destroying with intent to endanger your life. He didn't apply for bail. It was formally refused. The matter has been adjourned until August 5, so he's in custody. Hello, Heather.
Hello. Good morning, Ray. I just had to go down the shop at Rudy Hill, and,
right,
and they got all the police and
oh,
all
this is the one at the at the tattoo parlour that was set alight this morning, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, there was tons of people down there, and as I was walking to go across to buy my bread roll, there was this gentleman walking beside me, and I wouldn't hurt anybody for anything, but I see it on the TV all the time, and I said to him, oh, this is probably drug-related. And he screamed at me. He said, how dare you? This is my son's place, you know. And I felt awful anyway.
Oh, well, I'm sure you didn't mean it. But, like, I think Dad might be in for a reality check. Heather, you shouldn't worry about it, darling. It's not your fault.
Anyway, as I was coming back over, I thought, I'll go and apologise to him.
Yeah.
And he was on the other side of the road, and all these people there yelled out, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, darling... Darling, just you calm down, Heather. You've done nothing wrong. It's an observation you made, and I think Dad and the people screaming at you should take note that the crime scene is there. A car ran into the shop and set the shop on fire at 4 o'clock this morning. No one was thankfully inside the building. No one was inside the car. But we'll let police do their job, darling, and you may well be vindicated into the future, Heather, but don't worry about people hurling abuse at you. Unfortunately, I'm sure there are some reputable tattoo shops somewhere in Australia. It's just that most of them have connections with criminal gangs and bikies, unfortunately. But you go and buy your bread roll somewhere else, sweetie, and don't get upset. Just, I don't know what happened, and the police will investigate it, but I think everyone's suspicions are raised when you hear about a tattoo parlour being firebombed. They're usually places where there's mayhem, sometimes murder. And thankfully, no one was there this morning at 4 o'clock when the car was rammed into the shop and set on fire. I'm tipping that the person that rammed into the shop and set it on fire had an axe to grind with the person either owning the shop or inside the shop, and I'm sure police will get to the bottom of all of that. But I'm afraid that if you run a tattoo parlour, as many people do, sometimes it goes with the territory. And welcome back. Finally out of the Ray Hadley Morning Program on this Tuesday morning. That poor sweet lady that phoned me just before the news, Heather, who was quite distressed after being abused because she made an offhanded comment about that tattoo parlour at Rudy Hill being firebombed this morning at 4 o'clock. You wouldn't believe it. Had a phone call from someone not wishing to be identified, a former nominee for the Rebels, saying, Ray, if you check with your police sources, you'll find that the tattoo parlour is still linked to the Rebels. Well, I have no knowledge of it, but I mean, in the main, and I've got a few emails saying the same thing, it's not often you hear a story about a particular tattoo shop when you don't think of the bikies. Steve says, terrible hearing how the lady was abused by those associated with the tattoo parlour. When I heard the news, I thought exactly the same thing, and I doubt any of us are alone. No, well, according to a Rebels nominee or a former Rebels nominee, it's still linked to the, and I have no knowledge of it, it's still linked to the Rebels outlaw motorcycle gang. Now, the World Cup update. The USA have just scored again and now lead Australia by 3-1. Not looking good for their first appearance at the Women's World Soccer Cup, the Australians. Down behind the USA, 3-1 at the moment. 3-1, they're behind at the moment. I'll check the time frame. There can't be too much longer to go, I wouldn't imagine. 131873 is the open line number. A story coming from the Illawarra Mercury, who do a good job with limited resources down there. Yeah, almost 8 minutes gone, so I've got 10 to go. Andrew Pearson has written this story. What has happened to more than $10,000 in party donations Wollongong Labor MP Noreen Hay promised 7 years ago she'd either return or donate to charity? Greens New South Wales MP John Kay has used State Parliament to ask that question, tabling an upper house notice of motion last week in a bid to get answers. Dr. Kay has called on Miss Hay to produce evidence the money from property developers involved in the State Corruption Watchdog's inquiry into Wollongong City Council has exchanged hands as promised. In 2008, Fairfax Media reported Electoral Funding Authority records showed donations of $400 from Labor heavyweight and former council engineering head Joe Scamone in May of 2006 and $1,500 from Seb Vell Proprietary Limited, a company of which another developer under investigation, Frank Vella, was secretary and director in July of 2005. Miss Hay also received $8,900 from Wide Form, a company associated with a Mr. Boulant, a bloke called Glenn Tabak, Boulant Glenn Tabak. Dr. Kay's notice of motion cited those figures and said in October 2008, the Independent Commission Against Corruption made corrupt conduct findings against 10 people, including Mr. Scamone, Mr. Vella and Mr. Tabak. He also moved that this House calls on Miss Hay to provide evidence publicly that she's fulfilled her commitment made in February of 2008. Dr. Kay told the Mercury he would walk away if Miss Hay delivered on her promise. If she's returned the money, then the story is over, that's fine. If she's so far failed to produce those receipts when required. If she produces those receipts between now and when Parliament sits next on June 23, I'll withdraw the motion and walk away from it. If she doesn't, I'm going to talk to the Upper House and see if they will pass a motion, and it's possible that they will. In a statement provided to the Mercury when questions were first asked about the donations 2 months ago, Miss Hay said, I've always operated within the law and have complied with the commitments I made to the community. Last week, the MP directed the Mercury to the same statement, along with an article published in the newspaper in 2008 that stated Wollongong's Wesley Uniting Church Community Care Meals Program was the beneficiary of $1,000. Where's the other $9,000? Miss Hay said at the time the money was not a government grant, but came from donations by developers who vowed to distribute among the region's charities. The MP's responses didn't elaborate on specifics of what happened to the rest of the money, and no receipts were provided. Miss Hay has been contacted for further comment. Well, well done to the Greens. Hold her to account. If the money came from crooks, the money should be given back to the crooks or to charity. One of the two. She can't have it both ways. Poor old Noreen. 1-8-7-3 is the open line number. 81.5 gone now in this World Cup soccer match. The opening game and the USA leading the Australian girls by 3-1. 3-1 is the score there. 1-3-1-8-7-3, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon. It's 10 past 11. We've got a problem on the M4 in Sydney at Orchard Hills. What's happened, George?
Ray, there's a guy walking along just beside the fast lane in the right lane. He's wearing a hat. He's about 50-year-old, just between Mamre Road and Northern Road, heading westbound there, just at Orchard Hills.
So he's walking westbound on the M4 where the speed's either 100 or 110, which is obviously very dangerous.
Just about, mate. Yeah, okay, I gave him a bit of a toot, but he did have a...
Okay, let me get all the coppers in the area. Thanks, George. We'll alert police. Side of the M4, westbound near Memray Road, very dangerous. I mean, you shouldn't be walking on a stretch of road where the speed limit, I think, from memory is 110. Now, the NRL Judiciary Match Review Committee... So Asa Sue from the West Tigers, high careless tackle with an early plea misses no matches. Justin Horro from Manly for dangerous contact on the head or neck of Darius Boyd. If he pleads guilty, he gets one match. Kurt Gidley and Mitchell Pearce both escape suspension. And from last night's game, Manu Mao from Parramatta, dangerous contact with the head or neck of Ray Thompson from North Queensland. If he pleads guilty, two matches. And James Tarmow, named in the New South Wales side already, for dangerous contact head or neck on Paulie. If he pleads guilty, he misses no matches, so available for Origin. So two Origin players there, both Mitchell Pearce and James Tarmow, will be available for the game on Wednesday week with no suspension. 131873 is the open lane number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon. Ray, if the people who verbally abused the lady who phoned you, Heather, are indicative of those associated with the parlour, I think she might have got it right. Well, I'm sure she did. But just, she shouldn't be distressed in the way that she was. Poor, sweet thing. Ray, I'm 26, says Cameron. I bought a cardigan last week. I love it. Good on you, Cam. You're a good man. I'm a long-time listener. I really love hearing the Robertson brothers. Why don't they come to Canberra? Well, I've already been there, love. Barbara, I think they were there in February. And I mentioned at the time they were in February. They're in Canberra back in February. So I'm sorry you missed them. 131873, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. And Jill says, tell your listeners that carties are very, very handy, Ray. You can take them off when you're feeling too hot and put them on when you're feeling cold. Thank you very much for that, Jill. I appreciate your concern. It's a quarter past 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for Australian Fleet Sales. Call 1300 Used Cars.
At Pentatools, the truck broken down. Pentatools Road is southbound near the Crescent. That's before Boundary Road. Those delays continue right back through the Thornleigh area. Burwood, Parramatta Road, a bit busy in both directions. The M4, though, a good run in both directions there this morning. And through the Central Coast, no problems on the Central Coast Highway around those roadworks at West Gosford. At Summersby, we've got a truck broken